بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our second session reading from منهج يومي لطالب العلم by الإمام محمد بن صالح الأثيمين. And we're going to start with going over some of the issues that we dealt with last week from the brief biography of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. And then after that, we're going to start to read from the commentary, the text and the commentary of Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr. So first we're going to start with the questionnaire study guide for lecture number one. The first question being, title of the book in Arabic or English? In Arabic and English, I should say. Arabic and English. Anybody know the title of the book? Don't look at your books, please. Don't look at your books, please. You had the whole week to look at your books. Now, fadl.
Manhajun?
Yomi? English. What's the title of this book in English? Now. A daily routine for a seeker of knowledge. Jayid. Tayyib. Now, it is important to know the title of the book that we're studying, inshallah. Question number two, mention the author, rahimahullah, mention his name, including the names of his father and grandfather. Name of the author, without looking at the book, it's not in the book anyway. Name of the author, including the name of his father and grandfather. First name, name of the author.
Muhammad.
Muhammad. His father?
Salih.
Grandfather? Exactly like that, is the way we read it last week? Did anybody receive a copy of the brief biography of the Sheikh? Did anybody receive a copy of the brief biography? Did anybody not receive a copy? So, maybe you're not on the mailing list. In any case, in the brief biography that we sent, his name is Muhammad, the son of Salih, the son of Muhammad, the son of Al-Uthaymeen. Pay attention, please. Five. Question number three. Mention the author, his place, rahimahullah, his place of birth, including city, province, and country. Place of birth. What city? Naam. The city of Unayza, in the province of? Famous province in Saudi Arabia. Naam. Al-Qasim. And the country is known, right? MashaAllah. Question number four. Mention the author, rahimahullah's date of birth and death. Date of birth, at least a year of his birth and death. Now, 1347 of Hijrah and the death? 1421. Anyone know the date? The date, yani the day and month of his birth? That should be easy to remember. Now,
27th of Ramadan.
27th of Ramadan. And the date of his death, day and date, month? Now, 15th of Shawwal. Jazakumullah khair. Question number three. This is the easiest question of them all. Mention three of the author, rahimahullah's most well-known teachers. Number one. The first of them, the most important. Yeah, Naam. First one, Naam.
Sa'di.
Al-Imam As-Sa'di. Number two. Naam.
Ibn Baz.
Number three. Naam.
Shanqiti.
In the order of their birth and death, who was the first of his teachers? In the order of birth and death. Naam.
As-Sa'di.
And the second?
Shanqiti.
And the third? Okay, mention something about the author, rahimahullah's teaching style and occupation. That is, official teaching positions. Something about his teaching style and yani his official teaching positions. Naam. Anything. Yani something that stands out. Naam. Okay, that's okay. Naam. He was simple. That's true. Yeah. Teaching style. Naam. Naam. That's good. Good. What else? Something very important in his teaching style, in reference to ijtihad and taqlid. What did we say about that?
He was outside the hamdulillah.
Yani he wasn't adhering to the blind following, the taqlid of the madhab that he was raised upon. But rather, he used to make ijtihad. He used to make ijtihad based upon what? The manhaj of the salaf, yani the Qur'an and the sunnah. As far as his teaching positions, Naam, the most important of them, he was a professor. Where? Okay, University of Qasim. Jamiat al-Imam al-Islamiyya fi Qasim, naam. What professor of what? Okay, we're going to have to go back and search. It's very important. What other positions did he hold besides being a professor in the university? Naam.
Imam of Masjid Jami.
Okay, he was the Imam and Khatib of the main masjid in Unayza. Naam. What else? What else? Other positions, important positions that he held. And he was a member of, huh? The what?
I was going to say the dean, the principal at a time, or
the major occupations, position. He was a senior. Yeah, he was a member of the committee of the major scholars, the senior scholars of Saudi Arabia. Naam. And actually, he was entitled to be a member of some of the other major committees, but he refused. He didn't, like to be in the public. Tayyib, question number 7. Question number 7. Mention 3 of the author, rahimahullah's most well-known books. And he has lots of books that have been translated into English, not to mention in Arabic. Well-known books, some of his well-known books. 1. Naam. Okay, the explanation of Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyya. Naam. What else? Naam. Shah of Riyad al-Salim, very, very, very beneficial book. Tremendous. And whoever has read Riyad al-Salihin, they need to read its explanation. Naam, fadl.
The exemplary foundations of the names and attributes.
The exemplary foundations. Al-Qawaid al-Muthla. Naam. Over here, somebody had their hand up? Anybody? Naam. Huh? He said it already? Okay. Okay, his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed also in 2 volumes. Probably it's like 1,000 pages. Tremendous. Naam.
Fadl.
Usul al-Thalatha. Naam. The explanation of Usul al-Thalatha. And there are a lot of books. A lot of these books have been translated into English, and there's no excuse for the person who doesn't know Arabic. There's no excuse to not read these books. Very, very important. Mention something about the author, rahimahullah's character and manners with the people. Character and manners with the people. Somebody mentioned part of this in the previous answer. Naam. Okay, he was patient with people. Naam. What else? Naam.
I was going to say,
How he was in front of the people. What kind of person was he with the people? Naam.
I was going to say, he funded like a lot of students.
Okay, he used to take care of the students, mashallah, who came to study there. Naam.
Very patient.
Generous. Naam. Charitable. Naam.
Patient, humble.
Patient, humble. Uh-huh. What was the last thing you said?
Modest.
Very important. Modesty, especially for a major scholar. And this is from the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However high status a person may be, modesty, simplicity, and also most of the people mentioned, his exemplary manners in dealing with all people, whoever it was that he met. Everybody. He dealt with people, in a tremendously beautiful way, no matter who they were. Question number 9, discuss the affair which was the cause of this advice being written. And this is from the text of the book. The cause for which this advice was written. What was the occasion? Naam,
he was
Ali.
He was asked a question.
He was asked a question. What question was he asked?
He was asked, by someone, what
could he give him to use on a daily basis? Advice. He asked him to write for him, a minhaj. A path, a road, a course of action, a routine that he could follow every day in his life. In order to be nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last question, mention the 4 areas of a Muslim's life which the author rahimahullah addresses in this brief advice. The 4 areas that this advice is divided into. 4 areas. Number 1, the first of those areas, Abdul Wali. The manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is going to be a person's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second area of this book, the second area that he wrote about, Naam, Adil. One's relationship with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third area, Naam?
Diligent in filling your heart with the love of Allah.
Okay, be diligent in filling your heart with the love of Allah. That is one of the points related to the first area of the book. Your relationship with Allah. But as far as the book being divided into 4 general areas, one of them is your manhaj with Allah, your manhaj with the Messenger of Allah. Naam, Imam?
Daily actions that you should do beyond the mandatory.
Daily actions that a person should pay attention to beyond the mandatory. And beyond the things that are mandatory, that we automatically are going to do, like five prayers a day and fasting in Ramadan, other than that. And the last area, over here on this side, Muhammad?
The way of the student of knowledge.
The way of the student of knowledge. Yani the tariqah, what is the path, the road, that one who seeks knowledge, yani should be traveling upon? Here, I just want to make a note that the title of the book is Manhaj Yawmi Li Talib Al-Ilm. And normally we would translate Talib Al-Ilm as a student of knowledge. And I might be saying student of knowledge over and over and over again. I hope I don't. But I would prefer to use the title that the translator has used, Seeker of Knowledge. And the reason why I'm saying that is because every student of knowledge is a seeker of knowledge, by definition. But not every seeker of knowledge considers themselves a student of knowledge. I mean, some people might think, I'm just a regular person, but I want to know about my deen. So that person is also Talib al-Ilm, even if they don't consider themselves to be under that kind of title. But the Prophet ﷺ said, Talib al-Ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim. And he's seeking knowledge. And this seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim. Every Muslim. So that means that every person who has any concern about his deen knows that he must have knowledge in order to worship Allah. So every Muslim who has that consciousness is a seeker of knowledge, is a student of knowledge, is a talib al-ilm. And so this book has been written by the author on the request of a real student of knowledge, one of his students. But in reality, yani he wrote it in a manner in which it's applicable to every Muslim. It's not exclusive for students of knowledge. As it was mentioned to me earlier today by Imam Hanif, he said that it's as though the Shaykh intentionally left out a lot of details that a person who's seriously seeking knowledge, who's devoting their time and their life to seeking knowledge, would need. But he left it, yani, simple and brief so that every Muslim who is seeking knowledge, every Muslim who cares about his deen, can benefit from it. So he made it very simple so that every one of us, every single person who cares about his deen, can benefit from this. And the time is, you know, brief as we know, so let me just get right on. Allahu musta'an. I don't believe this. Allahu musta'an. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. I don't know how this is going to work out, but in any case, we're going to do the best that we can. So tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, it is our intention to read the introduction from the Mu'alliq, yani from Shaykh Abdul Razak, yani the commentator who's giving commentary on this advice. And then we're going to read from the first of the four sections. Yani the manhaj with Allah is divided into four points. That manhaj, the first fourth, is divided into four points. We're going to read one of them, inshallah. And maybe we may have to leave out some points for the sake of being able to finish. So the Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muslim al-Abad al-Badr, Hafidhullah, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله وسلم عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. يعني, and the translation of this is يعني easy for all of us, I think. The praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, and I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is His abd, His worshipper, and His Rasul, His messenger. And may the salat and salam be upon him and upon his family and his companions, all of them. Then the Shaykh made dua. And the dua of the scholars is really important because when they make dua, they know what they're saying. And as opposed to people, sometimes they just say anything. We don't know what we're saying sometimes. The dua of the scholars should be paid attention to. And we should take these dua to heart and we should repeat them. And we are in need of them, there's no doubt. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafiyan. O Allah, verily we... The Shaykh is making supplication in the plural. We are asking you for ilman nafiyan, for beneficial knowledge. Not any knowledge, but knowledge that we're going to benefit from. Wa amalan salihan, and righteous deeds. Not just to be busy doing a lot of stuff, but deeds that are righteous, that are according to the Quran and Sunnah. Wa rizqan tayyiban, and good and lawful provisions. Not by any means necessary. Yani just collecting wealth and provisions, but good and lawful provisions. وَتَوْفِيقًا لِمَا تُحِبُّهُ وَتَرْضَاهُ مِنْ سَدِيدِ الْأَقْوَالِ وَصَالِ الْأَعْمَالِ. And also we ask you for success from Allah, to be able to do that which you, Allah, which you love, and which you are pleased with, including sadid al-aqwal, yani that our speech is correct and on the mark, and it's correct. Wasali al-amal, and that our deeds are righteous deeds, yani in accordance with, yani with sincere intention, and in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, amma ba'd, yani after that, ma'ashir al-kiram, ya ma'ashir at-tullab al-ilm. And he's saying, he's addressing the assembly of distinguished, yani guests, yani meaning the professors and other people, and then he's addressing the assembly of students of knowledge. This is a speech that the Shaykh gave, yani commenting on this advice at the Islamic University of Medina in the beginning of the year, when the students were, yani arriving at the university, and this is the advice that was given to the students and those who were in attendance other than students. He says, هَنِيًا لَكُمْ هَذِهِ الْعَوْدَةِ وَهَذَا الْمَجِيعِ إِلَى هَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْمُبَارَكِ بَلَدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَهَذَا الْإِلْتِحَاقِ الْطَيِّبَةِ النَّافِيَةِ بِالْجَامِيَةِ الْإِسْلَامِيَةِ. He said, I congratulate you all on your return, yani the students who are returning, yani coming back from last year. And this coming, this arrival to this blessed land, yani the city of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I congratulate you on your joining or enrollment, yani the new students, this beneficial and good yani occasion for you to join the Islamic University of Medina. So he's congratulating all the people who are in attendance, and then he's again supplicating for them. وَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهُ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ أَنْ يَمُدَّكُمْ بِتَوْفِيقِهِ وَعَوْنِهِ وَأَنْ يَرْزُقَكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ الْعِلْمَ النَّافِي وَالْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحِ بِمَنِّهِ وَقَرْمِهِ. So he said, I am asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you, to support you with tawfiq from himself, yani that he supports you by giving you success in what you are trying to do of good, and that he grants you, and that he supports you with help from himself, and that he provide all of you with beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. And these two things are very, very important. Yani, both of them are necessary. Neither one to the exclusion of the other is going to really help you. But a person needs to have beneficial knowledge, any knowledge that will benefit, and they must also then follow up the beneficial knowledge with righteous actions. All of this he is asking, yani from Allah by his favor and his generosity. Then the Shaykh, he says, عادةً ولا سيما في بداية العام وخاصة أيضا المستجدين في الطلب. Yani he said that normally, and especially in the beginning of the year, and especially for those who are new at this seeking knowledge, yani the new students, he said, كثيرا ما يسألون عن المنهج والمنهجية في طلب العلم وفي العبادة وفي حياة طلب العلم عموما. Yani it is often, yani it is frequent that, especially in the beginning of the school year, and especially for those who are new students, it is frequent that they are asking about the manhaj, yani the path, the way, the road, and the manhajiyya, yani the methodology, yani the step-by-step approach in, number one, seeking knowledge, and number two, yani acting upon that knowledge in worship. Seeking knowledge, and also in worship. And also, yani in the life, yani how is the life of the student of knowledge generally, or the seeker of knowledge generally? Of course, he's talking to students who are students at the Islamic University of Medina. But again, as I said, yani the intended meaning here, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, is for every Muslim who's seeking knowledge, who wants to know how to worship his Rabb. So he's saying that it is frequent that people are asking about the way of seeking knowledge and the method of worship, and how, generally, how is the life of the seeker of knowledge, the student of knowledge. وَهُوَ سُعَالٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمُهِمٌ لِلْغَايَةِ وَقَدْ وَفَقْتُ عَلَى كِتَابَةٍ قَيِّمَةٍ وَتَحْرِينٍ نَافِيًا لِلشَّيْخِ ابْنِ عُثَيْمِينَ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى سَأَلَهُ سَائِلٌ أَنْ يَكْتُبَ لَهُ مَنْهَجًا يَسِيرُ عَلَيْهِ فِي حَيَاتِهِ. He said, so, this is a very big, an important question. Yani, what is the methodology, the path that one should follow in seeking knowledge and in worshipping Allah, and just the general life of the seeker of knowledge. He said, this is an important question, of the utmost importance. And he said, I came across a valuable writing and a beneficial composition composed by the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. In it, he was asked by a questioner to write for him, or he was requested to write for him a minhaj. And the minhaj has been translated here as routine, but anyway, we want to kind of mix it up a little bit so that we can get a good understanding of what is meant by minhaj. So yeah, we can say it's a routine, we can say it is, yani, the path to travel, the road. The minhaj is the path that you travel upon, or the road, or the, yani, the program that a person is going to be engaged in. He asked him to write for him a minhaj, yani, guidelines that he can travel upon in his life. Yani, what is the path or the road that I can travel upon in my life? فَكَتَبَ كِتَابَةً نَافِعَةً جِدًّا. So he wrote a very beneficial writing, yani, as an advice to the questioner or the one who requested from him this minhaj. He said, نَقِفُ جَمِيعًا عَلَى مَا كَتَبَهُ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَأُعَلِّقُ عَلَى كَلَامِهِ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ. He said, so we will all together, we will stop. نَقِفُ, we will stop and take a look at what he has written. May Allah have mercy upon him. And I will comment upon his speech. Rahimahullah, I will comment upon his speech with that which has been made easy, or what will be easy for me to say at this point. فَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهُ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ أَنْ يَنْفَعَنِي وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِهَذِهِ الْمَنْهَجِيَّةِ الَّتِي حَرَّرَهَا وَكَتَبَهَا نُصْحًا رَحِمُهُ تَعَالَى. So I ask Allah the Majestic that he benefit me and that he benefit you all with this, yani, this manhajiyya, yani, this routine or this guideline or this path or this road or this methodology which the Shaykh has compiled and which he has written as a sincere advice. So two things here I want to just quickly comment and say, yani, that this advice, the Shaykh described it as a sincere advice. And what's really important, and what's equally important, yani, equally important to the fact that it's a sincere advice, it's an advice from a scholar. So there are lots of people in your life, your parents, maybe your close friends or whoever, your teachers, who might want to give you sincere advice, but they don't always have the knowledge to give you the right advice. But here's a sincere advice that's from a person who knows what to advise with. We need to take it to heart and act upon it. And it's not difficult to act upon anything that he has placed in here. So this was, yani, from the Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of our Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah. Allah protect and preserve both of them. The Shaykh here begins with the first part of what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, mentions. He says, قَالَ الْعَلَامَ Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, لِلسَّعِلُ. Yani, that the great scholar, Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said to the questioner, the one who was requesting from him the advice. He said, فَقَدْ سَأَلْتَنِي بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكَ أَنْ أَضَعَ لَكَ مَنْهَجًا تَسِيرُ عَلَيْهِ فِي حَيَاتِكَ. He said, indeed, you have asked me, and may Allah bless you. May Allah bless you. And he's making dua for the questioner. He said, indeed, you have asked me. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless the questioner, yani, for his sincere request, that not only benefited him, but benefited all of us and other people since then and after this time. He said, may Allah bless you. You asked me to write for you, to compose for you a manhaj, a methodology, a program, a course of action that you may travel upon in your life. Yani, for the rest of your life. Yani, this is not a manhaj for the person who's in school for 4 years. Rather, this is a manhaj for you to follow for all of your life. وَإِنِّي, indeed, certainly, surely, لَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَنْ يُوَفَّقَنَا جَمِيعًا لِمَا فِيهِ الْهُدَى وَالرَّشَادُ وَالصَّوَابُ وَالسَّدَادُ. He said, indeed, certainly I am asking Allah the Most High to grant us all success, yani, me and all of you, to that which contains al-huda, yani, right guidance, and al-rashad, yani, right conduct and behavior. And here we mentioned last week that some of the scholars, like Ibn Qayyim, said that al-huda and al-rashad, When they come together, they each have a particular distinct meaning. When they use separately, each of them may mean the same as the other. But here, since they came together, we want to say that al-huda is al-ilm bil-haqqi. It is knowledge of the truth. And al-rashad is al-amal bihi. Yani acting upon the knowledge of the truth that you have. He said, so we ask Allah to grant us success, to make us successful, all of us, in yani being upon the path that is the path of yani huda, yani knowledge, knowing the truth, and ar-rashad, acting upon that truth, was sawad, being correct in our yani deen, was sadad, and being on point, yani being on point, yani meaning, as some of the scholars said, it means here that a person hits the mark that they intended without going to one extreme or the other, and without falling short or going beyond the bounds. When yaj'alana hudatan muhtadin, salihin muslihin. And he said, I also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he make us all, yani, guides, people who guide others. Wa muhtadin, and those who are themselves rightly guided. Those who are themselves rightly guided. And then they also guide others. Salihin wa muslihin, those who are righteous within themselves, and those who are yani engaged in reforming and rectifying and trying to help others to be righteous. Yani the person who's righteous within themselves, this is good. But better than that is the person who doesn't restrict their goodness to themselves, but they also try to help other people to be good as well. After this, yani Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he says, فَأَقُولُ. So after that he said, this is what yani I say to you. Yani as advice. Yani the minhaj. أَوَّلًا مَعَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. أَوَّلًا مَعَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. I'm just going to read from the text of what the Shaykh said, and then I'm going to read the commentary a little bit, just so that it's a little bit more clear in order. He says that Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, أَوَّلًا مَعَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Yani the minhaj that I'm advising you with, your minhaj with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Number one, and he divided it into 4 points, and I'm going to go back to the commentary of the Shaykh. Number one, احرس على أن تكون دائما مع الله عز وجل مستحضرا عظمته متفكرا في آياته يعني آياته الكونية مثل خلق السماوات والأرض وما أودع فيهما من بالغ حكمته وباهر قدرته وعظيم رحمته ومنته وآياته الشرعية التي بعث بها رسله ولا سيما خاتمهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is the first point of the advice of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah in the first part of the 4 parts of his advice. The first part is dealing with the minhaj with Allah, your relationship with Allah. And this first part has 4 points. This is the first point. The first point of your minhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, be diligent and eager in always constantly being with Allah in the condition, yani the meaning here, دائماً مع الله عز وجل مستحضراً عظمته. مستحضراً is how. It means that your condition with Allah, yani how are you going to be with Allah? You're going to always be calling to mind the azama, the greatness and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is going to be your condition with Allah? You're going to always be reflecting, pondering, contemplating over the ayat of Allah. The two ayat of Allah, two types, the qawniyah and the shara'iyah. So this is the first part, the first point of what the Shaykh says. Yani, strive, struggle, work hard at what? At always, constantly, in your relationship with Allah, constantly be calling to mind the greatness, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and constantly be reflecting upon the signs of Allah in the creation and what He created, and in the revelation what He revealed to the prophets and messengers, as the Shaykh says here. He says, the reflecting upon the signs of Allah, yani in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and that which Allah has placed in them of His profound, far-reaching wisdom, yani the manifestations of His wisdom in the creation, and His brilliant display of His power and ability, and the greatness of His mercy and His favor to the people. And also, the signs of Allah, the shar'iyah, legislative signs, which He has sent the messengers with, and especially the seal of the messengers, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now I'm going to go back to the Shaykh's commentary concerning this first point. The Shaykh says, that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he has qassama hadhihi al-manhajiyya allati yasiru alayha al-muslimu wa talib al-ilmi ila aqsam. He says that the author has divided this yani manhajiyya, this manhaj, this routine, this course of action, this path or this road which the Muslim and the student of knowledge travels upon into divisions. He has divided it into parts. قَسَّمَ الْمَنْهَجِيَ into parts. There are four parts. The first part is your manhaj with Allah. Second part is your manhaj with the Messenger of Allah. The third part is your manhaj with what? In your acts, your daily activity, your daily worship outside of the obligatory duties. And the fourth part is your path, the tariqah, the method of seeking knowledge. So he said he has divided it into divisions. Four divisions, as we know. To travel upon for the Muslim and for the student, the seeker of knowledge. So here Sheikh Abdul Razak is telling us that the Sheikh didn't intend this just for people who consider themselves tulab al-ilm. It's not just for people who specialize in seeking knowledge. He said for the Muslim, every Muslim, because every Muslim has to be seeking knowledge. So the Sheikh is pointing out to us here that this is not exclusively for people who consider themselves special people. They're the students of knowledge. No, this is for the Muslim, for every single Muslim, and as well, it's for those people who specialize in seeking knowledge. He is divided into divisions. Al-Qasm al-Awwal ma'Allah. The first division is the manhaj that a person must travel upon in their relationship with Allah. Qala awwalan ma'Allah azza wa jalla. Yani the Shaykh said first, the first thing we're going to deal with is yani the manhaj, your relationship with Allah azza wa jalla. And then he says, احرص على أن تكون دائما مع الله عز وجل مستحضرا يعني مستحضرا. Your condition should always be with Allah, that you are always calling to mind. And you're always trying to make yourself conscious of. Because you got a lot of distractions. يعني a student going to school, a person going to work, somebody at home with their family, mother with her children, people out, whatever. All the stuff around us is distracting us. Shaykh is saying, the first thing is, try to always have in the forefront of your mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to always be calling to mind the greatness of Allah. No matter what you're doing, where you're going, who you're with, always try to keep in the forefront of your mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Azim, Al-Kabir, Al-Rahim, Al-Alim, Al-Hakim. And you try to keep in the forefront of your mind the greatness, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And always, try to keep yourself busy with reflecting and pondering, contemplating the signs of Allah in the creation and in the revelation. This is the first thing. The Shaykh is saying what? That this is what we should be striving to do. And there's no doubt that it's not that easy to do. And if a person is not trying to keep Allah, the greatness of Allah in the forefront of their mind, believe me, they're going to be distracted with a lot of other stuff. You're not going to have Allah on your mind. You're going to have making money, eating some food, your wife, your children, whatever. Yani that's the nature of the human being. So a person has to work at this. It doesn't just come automatically because you have a good intention. Yani a lot of us sitting here might have good intentions, but Allah is not always in the forefront of our mind. Some of us, Allah is hardly in the forefront of our mind. Some of us, even when we pray, Allah is not in the forefront of our mind. We're distracted with other stuff. We're all over the place. So this is something that Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah is telling us. This is something you have to work at. Ihris. Be diligent in seeking it. Be eager in seeking to have, to always yani be calling to mind the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reflecting upon His signs in the creation, yani the creation of the heavens and the earth and what He has placed in it, showing His wisdom and His power and His mercy and His favor. And as well the ayat, yani al-ayat, or ayatihi al-shara'iyya, yani the legislative signs, that which yani He gave us in that which He legislated, that which He revealed, التي بعث بها رسلها, that He missioned the messengers with, and especially the seal of the messengers and the prophets Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here the Shaykh says, في هذه النقطة الأولى دعا طالب العلم أن يعني بهذا الجانب وهو جانب يغفل عنه التفكر في ملكوت الله في ملكوت الله. Yani the Shaykh is saying in this first point, yani from the manhaj with Allah, in this first point, the Shaykh is calling, inviting the student of knowledge or the seeker of knowledge to give care to give attention and show concern for this aspect, this yani side of the issue, which is huwa janibun yughfal anhu. It's something that people are unmindful of. Yani that is neglected. People are not thinking about this. They are not constantly trying to make Allah to be in the forefront of their mind, the greatness of Allah. What is this janib that He wants you to give care to and give attention to and show concern for? It is التفكر في ملكوت الله, that a person contemplate, reflect upon, and ponder over the kingship, the sovereignty, the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that everything in existence is Allah's dominion. And He's the king, the owner of everything in the universe. That a person reflect upon this. Then the Shaykh says, and from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an example for us, that this is what he used to do. He says, وَانْظُرْ إِلَى حَدْيِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم عَنْدَمَا يَسْتَيْقِذُ مِنْ آخِرِ اللَّيْلِ أَوْ فِي جَوْفِهِ. Yani look at the guidance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he used to wake up in the end of the night or in the middle of the night. فَيَبْدَأُ بِقِرَاءَةِ الْآيَاتِ مِنْ خَوَاتِيمِ سُورَةُ آلِ إِمْرَانِ. Yani when he used to wake up in the night, he used to begin with, yani before he made wudu, before he prayed, and he used to begin with reciting these ayats from the end of Surah Ali Imran, from ayah 190 to the end of the surah. He used to begin first with this recitation of these ayats. Yani what the ayats he said begin with? Inna fi khalq as-samawati wal ard wa ikhtilaf al-layli wan nahar la ayatin li ulil albab. Yani that indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the night and the day, there are signs for the people of understanding. And then he describes the people of understanding. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And these are the first two ayat of these ayats at the end of Surah Ali Imran. Yani where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of night and day. These are two things that are general, that he's pointing to, and there are lots of other things besides them. But these are two of the most important things that a person needs to be aware of. That indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of the night and day, are ayat, or signs for ulul albab. That they are signs in the creation of the heaven and earth, in the alternation of the night and day. But they are signs for the people who have understanding, ulul albab. Not for everybody, because everybody's not paying attention. And then he describes, who are the ulul albab? They are those who remember, who are engaged in the dhikr of Allah, praising and glorifying Allah, in all situations, when they're standing, when they're sitting, when they're lying on their sides. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ, and they're contemplating over, looking at, examining, studying the creation of the heavens and earth. And after contemplating the creation of heaven, they are saying, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Oh, our Rabb, you didn't create this without some purpose. Without a purpose. And there's a reason why you created this. There's an objective. And then they said, سُبْحَانَكَ. Yani declaring Allah's perfection. Oh, how perfect are you, O Allah. Free of any imperfections. فَقِنَا عَذَابِنَا. So therefore, yani protect us from the punishment of the fire. Here, I'm going to go back to the Shaykh. He said when he mentioned this ayat, the recitation of these ayat, he says that the Prophet ﷺ in his guidance, when he used to wake up in the end of the night or in the middle of the night, he used to begin reciting these ayats from the end of Surah Ali Imran. And then in the footnote he says, كَمَا وَرَدَ حَدِيثِ Ibn Abbas. The hadith of Ibn Abbas in Sahih al-Bukhari came with four narrations back to back. This one and then three after that. All of them narrated from Ibn Abbas, and all of them, and he going back to the same narrator from the Prophet ﷺ, but with different isnads. And he, three of them are from Al-Imam Malik, going through a different isnad than the one that this first narration came through. In any case, the point is, person goes back to Bukhari and reads this hadith, and read the other hadith with them. Because all of these hadith are important, and they all related to the same topic. All of them are narrated from Abdullah ibn Abbas by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in his Sahih. This narration came, mention it, and the reason why I'm mentioning the other narration is because this narration came mentioning that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray in the night prayer 11 rak'ah. And in the other narrations that came through Imam Malik, it mentioned that the Prophet used to pray 13 rak'ah. And we know the hadith, the famous hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never prayed more than 11 rak'ah in Ramadan outside of Ramadan. And this hadith is in Bukhari from Abdullah ibn Abbas, and it's sahih that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Abbas, saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying 13 rak'ah. And this is just a proof that the meaning of the hadith of Aisha is that mostly he used to pray 11 rak'ah. But sometimes he prayed less than that, and he prayed more than that. Clearly here he prayed more than that. Yani, this is the first narration. Narration of Ibn Abbas, he said, I spent the night with my maternal aunt, Khalati, Maymuna, radiallahu anha. فَتَحَدَّثَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا أَهْلِهِ سَاعَةً. So the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ spent some time talking with his family, meaning his wife, yani my aunt Maymuna, radiallahu anha. Then he lay down to sleep. So when the last third of the night came, and some of the narrations said, yani the middle of the night, or a little before that, or a little after that. In any case, during the night, he woke up, and he looked up to the sky. And in some of the narrations said that he wiped his face with his hand, or in some of the narrations with his yadain, his two hands. He wiped the, let me take these glasses off, he wiped the sleep from his face. And a person wakes up in the night, they should wipe the sleep from their face. That's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those narrations, the other narrations that I mentioned, that's right after this one, inshallah you'll find it in Bukhari. He said that he got up, he looked up to the sky, and then he said, and he recited these ayat, Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard, wa ikhtilafi al-layli wal nahar, la ayatin li ulil albab. Yani, that indeed in the creation of the heavens and earth and alternation of night and day are signs for the people of understanding, those who remember Allah standing, sitting, and lying on their sides, and who reflect upon, and who examine and carefully look at, ponder over the creation of the heavens and the earth. O our Rabb, indeed you didn't create this without some purpose. O how perfect you are, O Allah, free from imperfections, save us from the punishment of the fire. The Shaykh, he says here, yani concerning this matter of the Prophet ﷺ's guidance, when he used to wake up in the night, he used to recite these ayat to the end of Surah Ali Imran. هذه دعوة للتفكر كل ليلة. Yani, this is an invitation for a person to contemplate, to ponder and reflect over the creation of the heavens and the earth and alternation of the night and the day and the things that Allah has created in this creation every single night. When he woke up, he used to recite these ayat. This is from the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a person either has to keep reading them until they can read them well, or just memorize them. He said, وَهَذَا التَّفَكُّرُ يُشْكِلُ الْقَلْبِ بِعَظَامِ الْأُمُورِ وَنَافِعُهَا عَنْ الْوَسَاوُسِ الَّتِي تَمْتَلِئُ بِهَا الْقُلُوبِ فِي الْغَالِبِ. He said that this reflecting upon the creation of the heavens and the earth will occupy the heart, will occupy one's heart with the great, magnificent, and important affairs, the things that are beneficial. It will occupy the heart with that so that it will be, yani, occupied, and so it would not be occupied with al-wasawis, allati tamtali'u biha al-qulub fil ghalib. So it wouldn't be occupied with the whisperings and the nonsense and the foolishness that hearts are usually mostly filled with. Yani, a person doesn't want their heart to be occupied with nonsense, then they have to occupy it with this. Yani, with the remembrance of Allah, the dhikr and dua, and reading the Quran, and reflection upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, لكن, this is most people's hearts are occupied with nonsense. لكن إذا شغل الإنسان قلبه بالتفكر في هذه المخلوقات الدالة على عظمة من خلقها وكمال من أبدعها وقدرة من أوجدها فهي دالة على الخالق. يعني, most people's hearts are occupied with nonsense. However, if a person occupies their heart, yani intentionally occupies their heart with reflection upon these great created things that Allah created in the heavens and earth, these things which point to the avama of the one who created them, the magnificence of the one who created them. They show how magnificent is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they point to the kamal, the perfection of the one who originated them for the first time, who brought them into existence. وَقُدْرَةِ مَنْ أَوْجَدَهَا, and the power and the ability of the one who brought them into existence. Yani the one who created them, the one who originated them, the one who brought them into existence. The reflection upon these things in the creation will point to the magnificence and the perfection and the power of the one who brought all of this into existence. And you can't look at the creation of Allah except you see how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at the vastness of the sky, or the stars in the sky, the stars in the sky. I don't want to get sidetracked, but when I was a teenager, I was in a camp in Pipestem. Anybody ever heard of Pipestem? It's in the state of West Virginia. Maybe it's not even on the map. In the Appalachian Mountains. And I'm not taking this on a sideway trip, but we were in a town, in a camp, that if you went down to the town, there were people there who never saw a black person before. I'm not taking this nowhere, I'm just saying. That was a long time ago. But I was in the Appalachian Mountains, in Pipestem, West Virginia, looking in the sky. I didn't know anything about Islam then. There were so many stars in the sky, it looked like a black blanket, yani just scattered with white snowflakes or something. That's how many millions and billions of stars was in the sky. I don't know if you can look in the sky now and see that many stars, but that's how it was then. We were in the mountains too, so that helps a little bit, right? You're up high. Subhanallah, whoever reflects upon the creation of Allah, if we just look at what Allah has created, it will remind us. Yani the Shaykh began by saying what? That we should da'iman be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mustahdiran azamatahu. How will you always be calling to mind the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By reflecting upon the great creation that Allah created. The more you reflect upon Allah's great creation, the more you're going to call to mind and recognize and be conscious of the greatness of the one who brought it into existence. He said this, the person who occupies himself with tafakkur and the creation, the great yani things that Allah created, فَهِيَ دَالَةٌ عَلَى الْخَالِقِ. All of these things point to the Creator. كَمَا قَالَ الْقَائِلِ. Like the one who said, and the one who said it is the poet, right? But he just said, كَمَا قَالَ الْقَائِلِ وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ. And in everything, there is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a sign. And in everything in existence, there's a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. And I know the time is short, so we're almost at the end of this. I'm going to read the poetry. I'm going to just translate the poetry. He said, قَالَ الشَّاعِ فَوَا عَجَبًا كَيْفَ يُعْصَ الْإِلَهُ. Yani, oh how amazing or astonishing it is that the ilah is disobeyed. And may Allah forgive us our sins. It's astonishing that the ilah, the creator, the originator of the heavens and the earth, that he's disobeyed. But if a person reflects upon the greatness of Allah, this is what helps you to be obedient to Allah. Oh, how amazing it is that the ilah, al-ilahu, that he is disobeyed. Am kayfa yajhaduhu al-jahidu. How can the person who denies Allah, how can he deny Allah? And as the poet said, wa fi kulli shayin ayatun yani lahu ayah. And in everything that exists in the world around you, there's a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you deny Allah? وَتَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنُّهُ وَاحِدُ. And it all indicates that Allah is one. That He's the only creator. And the only one that deserves to be worshipped. وَلِلَّهِ فِي كُلِّ تَحْرِيكَةٍ وَتَسْكِينَةٍ أَبَدًا شَاهِدُ. And there is a witness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that moves or is still. That's what the poet said, yani, in everything there's a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the Shaykh says, فَهِيَ دَلَائِلْ وَبَرَاهِينَ عَلَى كَمَالِ الْخَالِقِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ. So all of these things in the creation, everything in the creation, are evidences and proofs of the perfection of the Creator and the magnificence and greatness of the Creator. وَلِهَذَا مِنَ الْأُمُورَ الَّتِي يَنْبَغِي. أن يعني بها طالب العلم والمسلم والمسلم عموما أن يحرص دائما على ذلك. This is the end of the first point. The Sheikh says, so for this reason, and for what reason? For the reason that everything in the creation is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in the creation, if a person's mind is working, if they are reflecting and contemplating, they will recognize the signs of Allah's greatness and His perfection and His wisdom and His mercy and His kindness and His generosity and all of that, it will be a sign for a person. So for this reason, it is incumbent that the seeker of knowledge and the Muslim generally give care and pay attention and be concerned about this matter, the first matter of the first part of this manhaj, yani the manhaj with Allah, that a person give care to what? And yahrisa daiman ala dhalik. That a person always be diligent and always be eager in what? Yani in calling to mind. Mustahdiran azamatahu. Mutafakkiran fi ayatihi. Al-kawniya wa shar'iyya. That a person constantly make an effort to call to mind. Allahumma sta'an. To call to mind the greatness and the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to reflect upon His ayat in the creation and in the revelation. This is the end of this point. I just want to take a minute just to read a little bit of a very, very beautiful tafsir of these first two ayats from Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. I was hoping that I would read all of it, but that would take another 15 minutes and we don't even have 10 minutes. So I'm going to read a little bit of what the Shaykh said. He said, the first point I want to mention is that he said in the creation of heavens and earth and alternation of night and day are ayats for the people of understanding. He said, yani indirectly is an indication in this of an encouragement for the worshippers to reflect upon the creation of the heavens and earth and to seek to understand those signs that are in the heavens and the earth and to contemplate upon them. Yani in Allah mentioning that indeed in the creation of heavens and earth and alternation night and day are signs, is an encouragement for us to reflect upon those signs. To reflect upon the creation of heaven and earth and the signs that they contain. The second thing he said, وَأَبْهَمَ قَوْلَهُ آيَاتٍ, that he made the mention of the signs, yani without any definition. He didn't define them, he left them just open. He didn't say that they are signs that indicate such and such something particular or specific. يعني إِشَارَةً لِكَثْرَتِهِ وَعُمُومِهَا. And this is, by just saying there are signs, this is an indication that there are many signs. And there are general signs that we need to be reflecting upon. He said, and that is because in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and what Allah has created, are amazing signs that will astonish the person who looks at them and reflects upon them. And will convince the person who contemplates them. And will attract the hearts of the people who are truthful, the people who are sincere. And then the Shaykh says, وَأَمَّا التَّفْصِيلُ مَا اشْتَمَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ فَلَا يُمْكِنُ لِلْمَخْلُوقِ أَنْ يَحْصُرُهُ وَيُحِيطُ بِبَعْضِهِ. That as far as the details of these signs in the creation of heaven and earth, then and all that it includes, it's not possible for a created being, yani, to enumerate them or to encompass them. But he mentions that three types of signs, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he mentioned three types of general signs that are in the creation. He said, from amongst them is ما فيها من العظمة والسعة وانتظام السير والحركة. That there are signs in the creation of heaven and earth that show the greatness and the magnificence. Yani, and the vastness. Yani, how vast the creation is. And the, yani, systematic arrangement of the movement of the things that are in the heavens and the earth. And all of this points to the greatness of the one who created them and the greatness of his authority and the all-inclusiveness of his power. And also there are in the creation of heaven and earth وَمَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْإِحْكَامِ وَالْإِتْقَانِ وَبِدِيَ السَّنَعِ وَلَطَاعَةَ الْفِعْلِ. That also in the creation of heaven and earth there's the ihkam, yani the precision and the itqan, the perfection and the yani amazing and beautiful way that Allah has created these things, and this is all indication of the wisdom of Allah that He puts everything in its place and the vastness of His knowledge. And thirdly, He said, also وَمَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْمَنَافِي لِلْخَلْقِ, yani everything that's in the creation that is of benefit to the created beings that point to the vastness of His mercy. and yani the all-encompassing nature of his yani favor and his bounty and his kindness and his generosity and the obligation to be thankful to him and the obligation to be thankful to him. All of this points to us having a need to connect our hearts to the one who created and brought these things into existence and to exert ourselves in trying to seek his pleasure, not to worship anything in the creation with him. And I'm going to skip the rest of this and go to the last part that the Shaykh says. He said, also in these ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has singled out specifically, ulul albab, the people of understanding, they are the people who have intellects. He singled them out because they are the people who will benefit from these signs, because they are the people who will look at these signs not just with their eyes, but with their minds. They will look at them with their minds. Naam. And this is all that we can cover for today, because we actually at the time of the Iqamah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do, sincerely for His sake alone. And that He recognize, record and reward all of our good deeds, pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that He grant us al-thabat, steadfastness upon a sirat al-mustaqim. And that He allow us to meet, to return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And that He grant speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and shower those who have passed away, shower them with His mercy, fill their graves with light, and make them spacious, and admit them into His paradise, and save them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. And we ask Allah to grant His mercy and His aid and His assistance and grant relief to the Muslims, wherever they may be, in Palestine especially, and in other places where the Muslims are being murdered and tortured and persecuted. We ask Allah to, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to grant them relief, and to protect them with a protection from Himself, from before them and from behind them, and from their right and from their left, and from above them and from below them. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. After the Salat, inshallah, whoever is able to stay, we're going to have some light refreshments. As far as those brothers or sisters who are memorizing, alhamdulillah, some of the brothers came today and recited before the class. The first page of the Arabic text of the advice, and which is the introduction, is what we memorize for this week. Next week, inshallah, we're going to memorize the first point. The first point, of the... Huh? Yeah, let me just see that for a minute.
That's the shock.
Yeah. This is the text. Yeah, so the second page, actually page 15, point number one, we're going to do... Point number one, memorize point number one and two. For next week, we'll memorize point number one and two. And then the following week, we'll memorize three and four. If anybody wants clarification, just send me an email, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khair.